This is the Mercedes Lucky Benedict Show, coming to you live on Web Radio Network. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for being here tonight on the Web Radio Network. I am your host, Mercedes Lucky Benedict, and you are now listening to the Mercedes Lucky Benedict Show. And we are streaming live on Spreaker, and we are so thankful. We're shouting out to all the people that are listening live tonight, and we say thank you so very much for listening. Tonight, we have an incredible, incredible guy here that I think is just one of the most amazing spiritual people, spiritual beings on the planet right now. And his name is Truth Seeker. Truth Seeker, how are you today, tonight?
Hey, my friend, I'm well. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I am doing so great, and I'm so thankful to have you here, and especially since we're now, I mean, I know I had you on the other show, but now that we're actually kind of stepping up and we're doing a little bit more now, we're on this great network, and I'm so glad that you could come back on and, you know, just be with me tonight on this. And so how are you doing? Like, what do you feel like for this new year that we are in now? What is your feeling about what's happening in our new year?
Yeah, expectancy is high. Spirit of expectancy. People are looking forward to new beginnings and beautiful energy coming in, and a lot of spiritual people. A lot of people leaning into spirituality. People who were once religious, you know, that's kind of the realm that I deal in a lot. And a lot of those people are kind of making their way out of like dogma and those things, and they're tapping into more of a spiritual practice. And so with that, it's a lot of new beginnings for a lot of people. You know, they're having to relearn how to do things and relearn some of their old, learning how to reword their old beliefs to still keep those beliefs, but you know, how they open up and you can explain them many different ways. And so I'm witnessing that in my inbox a lot, to be honest with you. A lot of people sending me messages like every day. And it's kind of strange because it seems like it's the same person that is messaging me every day from different accounts and on different platforms and things. But it's like, almost like a copy and paste, because it's, oh my God, I found your podcast. I was religious, but I felt shunned. I thought I was crazy. Your podcast, you speaking your truth, made me feel less marginalized and not alone and stuff. So really that's the collective. And I'm just there for my portion of those people to help and to, you know, to be a bridge, if you will. But I think everybody who's taken that step in the spiritual direction or in the direction of love, if you will, is experiencing something very similar. So, yeah.
I love that. And that's interesting you used the word bridge today, because I heard that and somebody else was talking about that, how right now we are really needing to like build bridges, because there's so many streams. There's like so many streams happening through different flow of all the changes that are occurring. So I like that you used the word bridge. Now, I know I kind of just kind of swooped in on that first question, but I would like you to talk a little bit about how you began this and what it is that you're doing right now, because I know, but possibly the people listening right now may not have heard of Truth Seeker. I know a lot of people around the world have heard of you, and you're just like soaring like an eagle right now, is what I can see. Can you just kind of go back a little bit and tell me your beginnings? Can and then it just kind of fast forward to today, yeah, if possible.
For sure. So, I started out tracing back my life or my walk in this kind of realm back to waking up when I was 4 years old and having a sleep paralysis experience, waking up in the middle of the night with some type of presence in my room, laying on top of me, these black shadows. And I was like 4 years old when this happened, living in Houma, Louisiana. And so that just, you know, led me to ask the deeper questions in life, like as a teenager, as an adolescent, and having sleepovers and hangouts and telling ghost stories. And I try to find ways to weave that in. And then growing up, it had me just interested in life beyond the veil, to try to trace back what was that, what happened, and just having those questions. So throughout my life, because of that, meeting certain people who were in different religious beliefs or spiritual beliefs, and I was discipled by a warlock when I was younger, and taught me how to dabble in witchcraft. And I seen a person who had a lot of spiritual power and who was able to summon, pull spirits in from other realms that would manifest and go out and do their bidding, and you could see them. So all of these different little confirmations about the spirit world being real, you know, and still giving my life to studying it. You know, I became a Christian in 1998 and had an encounter with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and it changed my life. But it didn't last for too long. Just I was a teenager, got deeper into the occult stuff, and went deep into it with the warlock who was teaching us the witchcraft and stuff like that. So went deep into that just for about two more years. So everything came to a head in 2000, where I ended up opening up some doors to the spirit world that I couldn't close. And these spirits were pulling me in and out of portals and speaking to me in foreign languages, and a whole bunch of them at the same time. They saw me as a open portal, and it was terrifying. It was torment, and I couldn't turn it off. And so that led me back to the beauty and the grace that I found in my faith in Christ, in this beautiful experience that I had just 2 years before. So I rededicated my life to Christ and got rid of all of my occultic witchcraft paraphernalia, those kind of things, and renounced all of that September 7th of 2000. And
wow.
Kind of on this straight and narrow ever since.
I did not know that. Are you that just kind of like blew my mind a little bit here. So, okay. That this makes a little more sense to me now, because I was thinking I knew that there were some things that had occurred like that. I was just thinking it was a little bit further back in your life. So now I realize that how the up and down, I mean, how you were going, and then you kind of went back to the other, and then you went then full steam ahead on this path. Wow. Okay. So can I ask a question about, since you, I mean, I understand where you're coming from here, but what was it that you think pulled you back? Was that hard for you? Was it feeling like you were being forced backwards, or were you just still like caught in a web, or how do you describe that feeling of not being able, of wanting to go back to that?
Back to the Christian or back to the dark stuff?
The dark, like the more of the warlock stuff.
Oh, no, it was terror. It was terror. And I barely made it out. Okay. I was going to go schizophrenic. I was losing control of how my mind operated, and voices speaking to me through other people. Psychic abilities, essentially what it was, but it was from zero of like being dormant to not even 100, 1,000 out in public. and that birthed a psychosis, if you will. And it was a dark psychosis because the stuff that I was involved with wasn't pleasant. You know, it was robbing, cheating, stealing, you know, using alcohol, all that kind of stuff. And then when you tie in to anything spiritual and you tap into that realm, you get to see what you're entertaining. So when I peered in behind that veil, doing all these rituals and things, trying to open up doors and portals and see a spirit and say hello, doing all these rituals and none of them worked, like back to back to back, like all of the rituals we can find. And mind you, I was stealing all the witchcraft books that I was doing the rituals in. So you've already got that karmic, you know, energy in the books that you're trying to use to open portals. And so once it's like none of them worked until they all worked at the same time. And when they did, it was like it was quick downhill, seeing shadows running through my house, nightmares being tormented by sleep spirits, and yeah, it was just my mind was I was losing my mind. It was straight whatever schizophrenia is, it was that for sure. And I was 16 when this was happening.
I think that that's why people relate. I can truly understand why people relate to you so much, from all walks of life, because of the fact that, I think that the more we understand, or the more we've actually lived a life where the dark is, where they pull you in like that, and where it can cause such terrible things to happen. I think there's a lot of people where this is happening too. And I think that's why people really resonate and come to find you. And I'm really glad you shared all this with me, this you're sharing this with me. How do you feel now whenever you think about, like, well, I know how I feel about my life, but how do you feel now? Because it's when you're on this path that you're on, and now you're really diving into studying. I know that you've spent the last 2 years really, or at least the last year since I've known you, I know that you've been researching and reading and studying and studying. Is it just a real determined mentality you have? Or is it this is like this joyous mentality that you have to do this? Can you describe that feeling for me?
So I've always been a student, if you will, you know, reading the scriptures and those things, you know, in my walk with Christ and all, and those the and practicing it just in prayer, meditation, and church devotion and those things. But it was always serious, you know, and you know, that's weird being in religion and then you being one who has been on that side, and then you go, you know, sit on pews with people who are there just because it's their Christian duty, right? Kind of thing. So there's like a levels of desperation, if you will. So it was always real for me, and it was always, you know, I was there, you know, because you know, I wanted to be there and I had to be there, you know, spiritually and mentally, kind of thing, to balance myself back out and to find peace in my mind and my heart. And it wasn't easy, you know, tapping back in, but to Christ, it was a long, hard road to, you know, you have to retrain your mind. And so again, that was years ago, right? But it's so easy to forget. It's so easy to forget where you came from. But so the last year or so, something happened where, you know, I did a lot of studying over the years, and it was for different reasons, you know, wanting to be a teacher, wanting to prove people wrong, many different ways of reading the Bible. So now when you read the Bible or study or plan sermons or plan debates or whatever, which I did all those things, that's shrouded in something too. That's tainted. It's got a different seasoning to it. You're not doing it out of love and an open heart. You're doing it for a certain reason. So, once my awakening went a lot deeper, from this Christian side of things, I started studying more of the spiritual stuff and more of the books that were taken out of the Bible, and Emerald tablets, and all of the other things that the religion tells you not to look into, you know, kind of stuff. And so With that being said, I kind of shut the door on being a Christian, like teacher, as one who was going to do, Bible studies to teach Bible studies, but I was going to share it in different words, right? I'm going to share these lessons and these beautiful truths that I found in the scriptures. And because people, we know they're, turned off by the religious ideas to, quote chapter and verse and suit and tie and those things. So, I quit studying, quit researching, as far as that's concerned with the Bible, and just begun sharing. And that's where my podcast came from. That's where a lot of my music comes from. And there was several years, say several, it was over 10 years where I
Oh.
really didn't study. I would read the Bible, but I wasn't trying to do Bible studies and really go deep like I used to. A year ago, I got back into it just for a moment. Like I just,
Oh.
there was something that came to me of just some little personal studies that I'm doing, nothing as, far out, but wrote some notes down and in my journal and on the my computer, and something happened. I had a supernatural encounter when I heard the voice of what I call the Holy Spirit tell me, hey, write this scripture down because it goes with some of the other stuff that I've been researching. And it was something that was on my mind. And I knew that if I didn't write it down or I let it go, then it would flee away. I mean, it's what happens with these thoughts and stuff, So it was like,
Right.
write it down. And when I did, got home and I wrote it down, and I said, hold on, there's another scripture that goes with that, and pulled it up. What does that word mean? And that's what I used to do. That's what the young, hungry version of me that was a student, would do. And oh wow, that word means this, and then this word, and then all of a sudden it was a magical experience. I felt God's presence overshadow me sitting here at this desk, and all of a sudden synapses in my brain felt like they started to connect, and felt I just started feeling this beautiful presence that I felt when I first found Christ, and everything just started connecting. And I couldn't, it felt like automatic writing at the time because I couldn't type fast enough. It was all of these
Wow.
scriptures and all of these things that I had been studying over the years, but I didn't, I made it a point not to put the Christian lingo with it. Like I'm still the, Christocentric Christian at heart, but kind of like undercover in the sense of like, hey, I'm a Bible theologian, even though I am, but it was another level that was unlocked a year ago. And I've been, I've had 14-hour days, just diving into the words, into the etymology, and I can't read the Bible without looking up what those words mean in their original context or even in their ancient context. And every time I do that, they open up into a whole new world that our society in Western civilization is locked out of. We're hungry for it. It's in our DNA. That's when we watch Ancient Aliens and we tap into spiritual things and we're attracted to this stuff. But finding all of it in the Bible, like all anything that is truth, anything that is spiritual, anything that is worth of it, anything that anybody brings that don't have a biblical worldview, like I'm able to find it in the scriptures. And like the last year has been wild and it's been fun. And it's been scary because there's a lot of concepts that I've never heard before that I'm finding for the first time. That's like, are you making this up? Are you connecting dots that aren't meant to be connected? And all of these questions and stuff until I'm searching and I'm just being honest, and I'm doing it as a student, not here to teach anybody, not here to prove anybody right or wrong, but here because of my heart being touched in a new love has opened up for me for the Bible and the Word of God and the beauty of Christ, and it was just a new layer that I was shown, and it's been amazing, and I don't take it lightly, and but it's restoring the magic that we've given away, if you will.
I love that. I have seen that over the time frame that I've, I, it may have been, it may be almost a year now that I've that I've known of you or been watching you. And I definitely, I tune in every week or if not every day into your posts and your videos, and I see what people are saying, and I see the controversy as well. I see the people that fight against the religious versus what, well, honestly, I think what you're what you're finding is what I believe in that. I believe that we were given the earth. We were given stones. I don't look at them. I look at them as tools that God gave us. I don't look at them as evil or that they are more than God. I look at them as a tool that God works through. And I think that what you're doing is finding you're finding the threads that create, that's the truth of some of the words, maybe the words, truth, maybe the words over time have been removed, removed from the Bible, so you're actually finding almost secret layers that were there. Am I right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's, we've been taught to, it's, first of all, it's how our brain and our imagination works anyway. If somebody tells you something and shows you a picture of it, there's already this, this connection that's formed, that every time you hear that word, you see that picture. And so for, the Bible and for religion in general, we've got pictures of it, everything and all of these words. And in a sense, they've lost their magic because they've become common. And so everything loses its magic when it becomes common. The grass loses its magic when it becomes common. And the beauty of a mystic is someone who's finding complexity in something common. It's in the mundane, and that's where God lives. That's where the angels live, is in the mundane. It's in the things that people look over, and it's really in your day to day. And you take it for granted, the breath, the air, the sun, the wind, the rain, yeah, the lightning, all of these things, the dirt, the dust, all of that is all spiritual. And it's all in your Bible. But even when you read it in the Bible, you read it as mundane. God dwells in the clouds. He is a consuming fire, and the sun rises and it brings healing in its wings. And you just read over it because the sun's not spiritual to most people until it is. Until it is. And so it's restoring the ancient path. It's what we forgot about. And it's a spiritual experience. It's not, we're experiencing the Bible. It's like the people say, if you don't believe in the Bible, if you don't believe in Bible prophecy, well, you probably should start believing it because you're in one. You're in a Bible prophecy taking place, right? But it was always with this doom and gloom. And because they told us how to interpret it. So when any of the Bible prophecies, the second coming of Jesus, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the disciples, what those names mean and who they are, and all of it, every single part is a layer of, if you're initiated into it, and you have to be let in. It's to be experienced. It's not to be read and to be, debated. It's to be experienced. It talks about the scripture or the word of God being the living word. It is alive. It's breathing. Yeah. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's intelligent, and it's working on your conscience. It's working on your heart. And if that's not happening, when a religious person reads the Bible, then they're missing out. And maybe they had that, maybe they gave it up, maybe they've never experienced it, but it is to be experienced. It isn't to be read and then to be looked at as a history book. Many people are proven that, but it's to be experienced. And so when you do that, that's the only way you'll be able to understand what these prophecies that we've put out for a later time, that something coming. So you can't understand what's here, and it's been here. And so that's what's happening to people all around the world. And I think that's why there's a fascination with my work and in my words and the way that I'm sharing this information out of love, out of experience. I don't even want to give anybody any truth or any nuggets. I want to give you enough to say, hey, when you open it, ask and expect and look. And if you're ready, it's going to pull you in, and it's not just the Bible. That's the thing, because people are experiencing the same thing watching movies and reading any other text. And that's the thing, that the words changed. Why? Because they mean different things in different languages. Different things around the world, and if you're in China, if you're in Afghanistan, if you're in Louisiana, no matter where you are, we're using these words, but they've lost their power, or they've trained us to fight each other, because we're describing the same phenomena differently, and so that's what religion's done over the years. So that's why. I guess I'm a thorn in the spine for those who are just trying to hang on to religious tradition. But for those who are ready to embrace and dive into beauty and the mystery and the living word, if you will, that I've been a breath of fresh air for a lot of people.
That's what I hear in the comments. And I understand that completely. And it's interesting that you brought up what you just did, because I was in my mind, I was thinking, I wanted to ask you about this. I just was on the, just did an interview with these amazing people from India, Dali, India, just 2 days ago. And I tell you what, I felt so much joy radiating from this husband and wife. And they have a school called, which I hope you look it up. It's called PPY, the School of Happiness. And it was their journey, right? But they were talking about how we are one. It's the universal part, just we're all one. And that's what they wanted. They want to share that, not just with children, but with they want to share our consciousness that we are the wind. We are all the things that you've just said. We are the earth. We are everything. And oh my gosh, I just felt elated in the conversation and just felt the joy. And I wonder, so part of me believes that we are all on this earth at different times or many times. And like over there in India, for instance, well, they didn't have the same religion that we have. In China, all the places you mentioned. So I love that you're saying that that's kind of why you're kind of blossoming, where people are really understanding you, because I think that what you're doing is you're going into these pieces of a universal type of spirituality where you're resonating with a higher frequency of the deeper meanings. Do you think that's right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a syncretism. It's studying what makes us the same versus what makes us different. And I've been an expert on what makes us different for the longest. And that was the only thing I could see, just like when I was into the demonic stuff, I was trained in that. It wasn't really dealing with angels or helping people or those kind of things. It was all negative. It was all take, 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 and so religion has taught us to fight with one another and to fight against ourselves. If we are expressions or reflections of one another, and then we're debating each other and we're attacking each other, so it makes us feel good. We're okay with making those other people feel bad so we can feel right in a belief system or a truth that the only reason we're attacking is because we have some insecurities and we might not really believe what we've pledged our life to. So that's why people are attacking. And we are one body. We are one spirit, one consciousness. And the Bible's clear on that. But, in the midst of it, of all the religions, of all the traditions, you have the same philosophy. So I'm not even just picking on, religious Christians. That's just what I come from. But if you have the same conversation and do it with Islam or the Hindu traditions as well, you'll find people who were just that because of religion, because of duty, because of schooling or whatever. And you have somebody else whose heart is really beating those texts. And when they read it, they get this, downloads and they get lost in the stories and those stories represent something deep within them. All of the different gods and personifications, they represent a part of their life, a part of their personality, and a part of God. And so and it's about them. So now these Hindu texts are alive and living and sharper than any two-edged sword, just like the
Right.
Bible is. It doesn't matter what it is. Once you're opened up, then God, the creator of the universe, starts to speak to you through everything. And so the conversation that started in the book of John or in the Bhagavad Gita or in the Emerald Tablets, the conversation pauses and then you're watching a movie. And then the conversation starts again. And you're watching a movie and the movie's picking up where the book of John left off. And it's giving you insight. This is us being taught from behind the veil. The real thing that I was seeking out on the demonic negative side, looking for that, as I started out, I took, let's say, 3 steps backward. And let's say I went to negative level 3, if there's levels in the spirit world. And at each level, something's open, something's unlocked, something's privy to you. And to go deeper, you got to go darker because it's a contrast. In the middle, it's a gradient and the worlds collide. That's what Earth is. But with ascension or descension, there's levels to it. And so I would describe it like I went to level -3. And at that level, a lot of people don't know about this stuff. They've never experienced it. And thank God, not everybody makes it back to share these stories. So that when you're talking about living in gratitude, which gives you access to greater things, gratitude does. And so it's just been a beauty to be able to, remember, those things and say thank you that I'm still here and those kind of things. But
Yeah.
synchronicities, demonic
Yeah.
synchronicities are real. Demons showing you numbers of the days, not the days you're going to be blessed and find your spouse or get a raise and or angel numbers. No, demon numbers. When you're resonating on that consciousness, when you'll see the number, and they're just numbers. You give it the meaning, but since your consciousness is defiled, everything now becomes demonic. So at that level, it's literally demonic voices and expressions and terror that are tormenting you and showing you the number of the day you're gonna die. You're looking at newspapers and it says somebody with your last name died on this day, and then there's a thought that pops in your head that says I'm going to die next year on that day, and the thought just popped in your head. It's a download, a demonic download, and then you're like, oh wow, that's weird. And then the news, somebody says it, and then so it's like so it's coming at you from every angle. The demons work the same way as when you are in ascension and you get to level +3, and then synchronicity start happening, and then this is here, but it's encouraging, it's beautiful, it's lovely, it's hope, it's joy. But for every level, you have a contrast on the opposite spectrum that is the polarity of it. And I've been on both, and so I know that they exist, and that allows me to find balance, if you will, and to be thankful and to know to check yourself so you don't wreck yourself, if you will. You don't want to fall back to where you were, because the scripture says there's darker forces waiting on you, actually, when you go back. Those same demons that lost their grip on you and that kind of stuff, they got some stronger buddies that they've went and got. And so,
Like the
just
seven
taking
times
it out.
seven.
7 times 7, they go get 7 stronger spirits, stronger than themselves. And so now when you're talking about why didn't you think about going back, do you want to go back? And I know this and I've experienced it. Heck no, no way. I barely got whatever strongholds those guys were, I barely made it out. So I know it would be over for me to even dabble in something that I felt was demonic. So, in that process of being a religious Christian or whatever, and then going into some of these deeper studies, there's a lot of fear because the church taught me to demonize everything that wasn't Bible in the way they taught the Bible. So there was a lot of hesitancy there. And then we attack what we don't understand. We really demonize what we don't understand. And that's where the comment section comes in, where you see in the videos, everybody's like speaking as an expert on things that they have no idea about, Mind is already made up, and it becomes that to them, whatever they think it is,
Right. And I remember in other previous conversations with you, I would share with you how I felt after people would just literally rip me to pieces because I was on the death files with my family, not thinking how others would look at me. I never really thought about it ever, because anytime I watched those shows, I never was on computer. I was never doing that, looking at chats online while the show's going, or I just never saw that was I never knew that world actually existed with those shows. So when I finally was on that, and then they just hit me with all these comments. And then it became about even about my work as an energy healer, and then now it's involved when I, have Bill Bean helping us. So there's an attack on me there.
Oh,
And
yeah.
then, I mean, it's like everybody wants to just attack, and I'm like, wow, where did all this come from? So I think it's been interesting to watch, and really, I love how you handle that with such grace. Like, I'm like, wow, how did he, you just, it's almost like you and it's, I don't know, maybe it's that just being the observer of it and knowing where they're coming from. It's not really, it's just out of fear.
Yeah.
I'm kind of rambling on that, but I was very surprised about how everybody, even through this year, it's just like, wow, people, don't you, why do you want to argue with me? I mean, I'm just trying to share with you, right? So I totally, how do you feel? What do you think is that kind of what you experience?
Yeah, I
You
did.
know,
So that's been the greatest teacher is being on the other side. So I've been one to attack and to mock and to ridicule and those things. And so,
oh, yeah.
and I've done it and I've had it done to me. And so now, that's, I just use this word that that's judgment, that I have to make a decision, of this person. How do I respond to them? Should I even respond to them? And many people will tell you mean stuff. And I'll respond and say, "Oh, I was just joking. I didn't think you was gonna respond. I know you wouldn't respond until you saw something negative or whatever." And I was like, "What do you mean? You said that because you wanted me to respond?" And it's like, "Oh yeah, I didn't mean it or whatever." And I've done it, I've been there. So it isn't until you change up your approach, So for me to stop responding, to people that way, or debating or picking fights with people who haven't, experienced it. And so when it comes to the religious thing, they feel like if they've read it, then they've experienced it. And that's not how you can't. The Bible is not written that way. It's written that way as a parable for you. But when you experience it, now it's not a parable. Now it's a living experience, it's with whatever we call God or consciousness, and it's amazing. So, people who want to have something to say about your experience, or and they weren't there, like even me sharing my testimony of dealing with those demons and opening portals and pull me in. There's tons of comments, a ton of them. They were like, "Oh, that was a crystal meth binge. You went on a crystal meth binge. It's okay. You made it back." It's like, "No, I've never done crystal meth. How's it taste? I've never done it." They're trying to take a dig at you. And but they're projecting too. They're projecting their experience or you know, that stuff's not real, so it had to be drugs or whatever they say. And so how you respond to that matters, but like, what does their opinion have to deal with the truth? If you
Right.
give up your right to try to or desire to be right, like if I have to win that random person over who, you know, don't believe this, it's because they haven't experienced it. And so I think as time has moved for me, and I've had a lot of encounters, maybe when it was one or two, you know, and people explain it away, but you can't explain all of this away. And if
Yeah.
just one of these experiences, phenomenas are real, then I think they're all real, or they all can be real, if you will. And so, yeah, I look at it as this school and those levels, if you will, too. You know,
Yeah.
first grade, second grade, third grade, that's ascension. So if we're
Yeah.
all in school together, what does a 12th grader, how silly would he look arguing with a third grader who doesn't believe that calculus is even a thing? And you're trying to teach them calculus, but they're learning division, and they're barely learning that. And then, you know, and that's what we're doing. We're talking down to people who haven't experienced certain lessons to graduate into that grade or into that class, if you will.
Yeah, that's an absolutely perfect way to state that. I love how you said that. That's perfect.
So I give up my right of like trying to prove anything. It's like, okay, so in order to believe what I believe, you've had to fought a demon that tried to take your soul. You've had to have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and love, and then you've had to have all of your church pastors turn their back on you and mock you and publicly denounce you and tell everybody to stay away from you. Then you've had to have this, and then you've had to have that, and then you've had to have that. And that's why I believe that this is the truth. So for me to try to explain, the best way I can explain is not to tell you, it's to show you. Let me show you if it's alive, if it's living, if there's anything good in it. I'm only trying to share things that I believe can help and benefit people. You know,
Exactly.
even if it's just asking questions, that's still helping. And you know what I'm saying? Getting people to ask those questions so that they can find the answers for themselves.
You're
That's how.
so great. So great. You really are. I gotta say, I keep getting that the show that you're recently on with George, is it George Norrie?
The Coast to Coast.
Yeah, the co I was like, what? I was like, all of a sudden, I'm hearing I should have you talk about that because you've been on that. I know that you're recently on Coast to Coast, and I've got to say that I know a lot about that show now from Bill Bean, and I've researched that show, and I've listened to it, and you don't just get on that show unless you know things, and he wants to talk to you, and you've been on there at least I think at least twice, maybe more.
Yeah, twice.
Yeah, so can you talk about that experience? Because I'm sure somebody that's listening right now knows who what that show is. Can you talk about your experience and what that's like to be on there talking to him about what you're talking about me right now, to me
Yeah.
right now?
Oh man, that's a dream. I would say a dream come true. It was a bucket list thing, and I told the host, Richard Serra, is who interviewed me. But yeah, it was something that I listened to many hours of Coast to Coast as a truck driver, and being up and out late or downloading all the episodes and listening to them while I'm driving. So I was always infatuated with the show and interviewing people, and listened to a lot of George Norrie as well to learn how he interviewed people. And even if he disagreed, like he didn't debate them. There would be people who would call in with stories, and you can tell he's a little bit skeptical, as anybody would be, but he let them share their story. And so coming from the religious background, like that really helped me, because we're quick to shut people down and don't let them share their story because they might be wrong. And again, that's what you see in my comment section from those people. You can't, I'm not gonna let you share, I'm not gonna let you trick these people. It's like, I'm just sharing my story, man. You know, that's the end. And I learned that from George Norrie, and it really benefited me to not, even if I disagreed with people, And I thought it was scary or mean. I would maybe try to course correct a little bit, but I held my tongue from attacking and ridiculing and those things because I came from that. So it was actually a big deal for me to do that. So it was funny because, you know, everything, all this stuff connects. Like, I found Bill Bean on Coast to Coast, you know, one of the days just listening to one of the episodes, and it was a demon episode, and happened to listen to him. And, you know, I love his story. The main thing that stood out to me about Bill Bean on Coast to Coast was his that he was unapologetic with about Jesus, and about the only way to shut these doors is through the name of Jesus Christ, you know. And he's really adamant, and he's preaching, and he's doing what he can to help. He's trying to help. But for me, being a Christian at the time, and like, man, this guy's on there actually preaching to people, and that's what we want, you know. And so that stood out to me, his boldness to go on a secular show, if you will, and really
Yeah.
present his faith in that manner. Because a lot of people go on there and kind of water it down and kind of stuff, but he didn't. And so he's the guy, he's the spiritual warrior, you know. So that was how I met him. I was introduced to his work, and then I started my podcast right after, and it was when I first started interviewing people. And I don't think I'm the best well-spoken person or whatever, but when I first started, it was bad. The quality was bad of the shows and stuff like that, and in the equipment. But even my ability to hold a conversation, not to stutter as even bad as I do now, but it was very bad. But out the gate, I'm listening to Coast, but as a student, I'm listening to Bill Bean. I'm like, he's sharing his story, but he's skipping over stuff that I'm like, hey, hold on. What did the demon look like? Like, did they shake? Did they scream? Like, what? And so as George is interviewing them, he's just kind of getting through the story. But I'm like, these little nuances as a student, not as a reporter, but a reporter for me. Like, I'm a student in this. So I'm like, man, I'd love to talk to Bill Bean and ask him more, you know? So I email him. Bill Bean's like, oh, sure, I'll come on your show, sure. And all of these big name people that, you know, at the time, because there wasn't as many podcasts or radio shows on this manner. I was kind of a forerunner in my niche or whatever. This was back in 2011 or so. And I had all the big name people, because I was just listening to Coast, and I'm taking notes of questions that I want to ask them, and then I kind of manifested it. Just like I
Wow.
manifested being on Coast to Coast. First, it was, hey, I want to talk to George Maxwell. I want to ask him about the Anunnaki. I want to ask Trisha McCannon about the lost years of Jesus and magic and these things. And I have some questions. She mentioned some stuff in passing, but I'm interested in those. I caught that. And so that was my introduction to podcasting and interviewing and tying it into Coast to Coast, you know? So
Wow.
just being a student and being in love with, you know, with truth and with knowledge and with information and expression and experience and all of that. And when you do that and you genuinely love it, obviously it you know, it transpires, like it inspires. People pick up on it. You know, they can tell that your heart's in it. The people whose hearts are in it, they can tell, you know, because there's a
Yeah.
commonality that you find. And with for me, talking with as many people as I have, over 550 episodes or something, like all walks of life, and then finding yourself and finding your story in other people's stories who have no idea about your faith, no idea about your Bible knowledge and any of that stuff. But it's weird because it's the same story. They're even wording it very similarly, and they've come up in like studying, you know, the Baha'i faith or whatever. It's the commonality. And you're thinking, now, hold on, you've had to read these verses, right? You know, the Bible says this, or you've been to this church, you heard this sermon because you're quoting him, right? I have no idea. No, that's where you see, hold on, there's something deeper that is in the hearts and the pursuits of individuals towards their creator and something real.
And it's just how it's almost like it manifests, like you were saying, like, I mean, you manifested all that. Well, spirit and God manifested that for you, but even all the people that you speak to, or I speak to, I believe that there are connections being made that we are supposed to speak. You know, we're supposed to be talking and sharing. And that's just fascinating. I love each time I get to know a little bit more about you. I love knowing that story of how you started with that.
Yeah.
I have a,
so there was a guy named Micah Dank, and he does these shows and stuff too. He does a lot of podcasts, and he was a big fan of Jordan Maxwell. And I was good friends with Jordan Maxwell before he passed. And so I knew how he's writing about Jordan Maxwell in his books and stuff, and he's never met him. And I was like, hey, if I call you on Zoom one day, it's important, just answer. Cause if I do, I got Jordan on. I want to try to make the connection and have you meet somebody that you look up to, you know? And so I was able to get him on a call with Jordan Maxwell, and he got to show him his work because he inspired him. And like, he got to meet his idol in a sense, you know, somebody who just really inspired him. And it was a big deal for him, Micah Dank. And so he was like, so just head over heels for me of helping him. And he loves my music, and he's a fan of my stuff too. And he's like, man, I want to help you out. How can I help you, man? I'm gonna try to get you on some shows. And I got a friend of mine who does Coast to Coast, and I'm gonna try to get you on Coast to Coast. And I was like, so I'm telling him how powerful and how awesome it is, because he put a word in for me with the host and got me on Coast to Coast. This guy, because I did a favor. I wasn't expecting anything in return, but like you said, everything, no good deed or bad deed goes overlooked.
Exactly.
God and the angels and the energies, they keep tabs and records of all of it. And so, man, it's those little things like that that you want. I want to keep doing good deeds.
Yeah.
Keep trying to help people and things like that.
I want to be on Coast to Coast.
Get it out there, man. Make it happen. Do it.
Someday.
Yeah. When you're ready, it's your time. Mm-hmm. There's nobody that can hold it back.
It'd be great.
When
it would be
God and the angels say yes, they wake up with your name in their mind and they look you up. That's how this stuff works. It's not when it's your time and it's your turn. So
yeah,
be ready and be prepared and put that thought out there, whatever it is you want to accomplish, for sure.
You know what's so interesting is, like, I would even say just a year, when I was first talking to you and went on your show, I was so much about, like, our story and the dark stuff that happened, and, you know, and all the tragedy, you know, that we had to go through. But what's interesting is that since it's been cleared, it's really what I always wanted. It's like being on the other side of the rainbow, because back when it was all dark and gloomy and all the demons and all the horrible stuff happening for all that time, I would say in myself, I know that there's going to come a day when I'm going to stand there and I'm going to share the great spirits on this land and all the wonderful spirits and the plants and the energy that I know is keeping me alive. And so it's like, here I am now. And I'm like, wow, like, I feel like I'm like that stuff was, it's not here anymore. Like, I'm in the cabin and I'm not, there's nothing scary here. There's spirits here, but they're like the light force spirits, you know? And it's almost like I just feel encompassed with light now. And I only know that because of where I was and the darkness that I was in different times of my life. And so it's kind of neat to be listening to you and resonating with that, because it's like, now I feel like if I wanted to go on Coast to Coast and talk about, you know, all the stuff that happened, you know, but now it's like, I feel like the stuff is like about the glory and the magic that we can be, and that the things that we can do with God, you know, like, God can really pull us out of these dark places and get rid of the bad stuff, you know, and you're living proof of that too, you know?
Yeah. There's a lot of people who are still going through dark stuff, you know? So,
yeah.
And they're attracted to it, you know, they're attracted to those stories, and they're attracted to titles, and images and things like that. And so that's why I still use a lot of those, images and even the wording and stuff, like because I know that it's going to get me in front of people who are searching and looking. And so I'm an undercover, like, Christian in a sense. Like, I'm not undercover because I'm just open, but the way I look and the way, like, I'm ministry minded, I'm tactful, I'm focused of, like, of an audience of a people who are the ones who are, first of all, searching for truth and searching for answers. But maybe they've bit off more than they can chew. Maybe they've opened up some doors that they can't close, like I did. And so what do I have to do to get in front of those people? Because most likely they're not going to church, and if they are, then there's people there that can help. But I'm looking for the ones who are staying up at to 2 in the morning listening to Coast to Coast. I'm looking for the ones who are searching, how to cast out a demon or whatever the case is. And so, yeah, you can hear the story and you can see it, and it's something that's going to make you click on it. But then you get the glory, then you get the beauty, and it doesn't. I don't even have to come across like as, this is preachy or something like that, even though it is in a sense. But like, I'm invited on the shows, and I try to do it with delicacy because it is part of the story. But like, I went on the Coast to Coast this last time to talk about activating the third eye and those kind of things, right? And from a I approach it from a biblical standpoint, but I was able to really teach biblical truth on how to purify your mind and how to focus on beauty and how to look at a negative situation and see it turn into, that's magic. And we all have the ability to do that. And it becomes what we say it is. And so I'm on there like discipling and sharing universal biblical truths, but it was under the guise of, hey, we're going to teach you how to open the third eye. I was like, hold on, you might not need to open it. If you're focusing on demonic dark stuff, I did that. Focus on beauty. Focus on those things that you want to manifest, and it's going to open naturally, right?
I think a lot of people, and especially, well, I think it's been going on forever, but I think that they look at manifesting the dark stuff because they feel like that's going to get them success. And I mean, I understand because I feel like I was doing that back in the day. I see where what I was doing, and I realized that I didn't have faith in God. And but I understand. I don't think I would. I just understand people. I understand how they can, resonate with that, even though there may not be devil worshiping or satanic worshiping. If you're not in that same frequency, and you're still running with a crowd or running with people that aren't the highest and best, you seem to find yourself, taking more drink, taking drugs, because you'll just kind of be running with that type of energy. And so I think it is good to be able to resonate with people, or people understand that you understand them. And I think that that's what a lot of people see with you, is they see you. They see you. You're very good at showing who you are. But you do have to, you do have to really listen to you too. And I think that's why people, you're very intelligent. You're very intelligent, and you are very much a person that you can tell that you've done. You're not just lip service. I mean, you really are you've thought about it. You've got the details. You've been working through this. You've figured it out. You've watched others. And I think that really comes out in your work, with people and spirit and God and all that.
I'm glad you see that. That's what is a definitely there's a connection there. I've been able to, again, it's staying a student, staying one who's I'm interested in these, stories. I'm interested in I've dedicated my life to the exploration of who we are, why we're here, right? What else should we be involved with, because it's only for a short period of time, at least in this form. So I'm asking the hard questions and to claim I'm an expert because I read a book. No. The other books say something very similar that have some other nuances or something very different. And the Bible has some of those similarities and differences in there if you know how to read them. So
Yeah.
you got, when you step down from being an expert, you stay, you know, well, I don't have nothing figured out. The moment you feel like you have something figured out, you're locked out of any growth. And it's really the, what we call idolatry, because you've got it sealed in an idol. It's become a statue. It's not living. It's stuck,
Yeah.
cast in stone. And it's not living. It doesn't move. It doesn't change form. It doesn't take shape. It doesn't spread its wings. If you look at a, you know, a statue of a duck, and if you've never seen one, you don't know what they can do. You don't know they can swim underwater. You don't know that they can fly a little ways. You know, you don't know the sound that they make. So it's not living. It's confined. And so when we pronounce judgment on people, on situations, and on things, we cast it in stone. And that's what the Bible's talking about when it's talking about casting stones at individuals. And I'm talking about how we have an image of what casting stones looks like. And because they've shown us, you know, people living, primitive people in the Middle East throwing stones at somebody they disagree with. And so if you think that that's what it means, and that's all that it means, when you read that in the scriptures, you'll only see that until you're like, hey, is this is what it means? Because they cast stones at this person, and then they're up, they're still talking to him in a couple of chapters later. Like, was this something deeper? What does cast mean? What is, wow, cast means to pour molten metal into a form. I think
Oh, yeah.
in church that it was throwing rocks at people to kill them because they're sinners. Is it both? Let's just hold it at both, but we'll hold it one at a different, more magical layer, where you're idolatry, putting things in stones and then putting spirits inside of stones. Now, so now we're talking about these things that we thought we had everything figured out, but now there's a whole layer. If you're willing, everything is multidimensional. A grass is just a piece of grass, but a grass is many different things depending on who
Yeah.
you are. A piece of grass is alive, it's living, it's breathing. A tree,
Yeah.
you know, then the spirits that live in the trees, and then we get into, can you catch them on camera? Oh my goodness, at certain rays of the sun, you can film the trees, and you can see little sprites and spirits living in the trees and flying out of its leaves. And oh my goodness, I thought it was just a tree. Oh, we're in connection with the tree. You know, we exhale carbon, and they exhale oxygen. And we both need it, and we share a symbiotic relationship together. And now it's just not a tree. Now that it's there's it's a multidimensional expression of something that's roots go way deeper. And just because we can't see them, we think their roots go straight down, or they don't have any roots. But that's the magic, is that you see one thing above ground with you, and they tell you what it is, but then on the opposite spectrum, as above, so below, there's a world that is mirroring our world, and that world is mirroring a world. And above us, there's a world that mirrors a world. And here we are in the middle of all of it. And we think we got it figured out. We think we humble ourselves and sit in the awe and wonder of that. Then more will be shown to you. And that's all I've done, and things have opened up. And but now you got there, but can you keep it? Can you stay in that? You know, can you, how do we go to the next level? How do we cultivate it? Can you help others get here? You know, because if you do, that's how you graduate to the next level. That at this level, you have to have so many people, 144,000, if you will. And we don't have enough people. So once you get the others and bring them up to your level, then the angels reach down and pull you up to another level. This is going on. This is what's happening in the Earth School. This is why we're here.
I love that. That's awesome. I love how you explain that. I feel like that's the way I love that. I always call it like a video game, you know, where you go to the next level, but I like how you talk about it as a school, like with the levels of school. And I love what you're saying about The more we are in that place, then the we raise up to the next level each time we the more people we help and
You got to get the
well
experience points like in the game, right? You got to get
yeah.
experience and then you level up.
Yeah, that's really great.
Or just drink the
So
magic potion or get the cheat code and you can get to the
yeah,
if you know the coder, if you know the being or the entity of the or the intelligence that created it, then you can probably, you know, the matrix can be hacked, you know.
thought about that. Well, I think certain words I know, like I always say the phrase "I love you," "I'm sorry," "forgive me," "thank you" from Ho'oponopono. And a lot of the work I do is with that. But I had read so many books and what about what those words mean. And I've watched that the frequency of those words can change lives. And but it's God. It's God. It's like a resonant frequency. You know, it's a residual. I mean, it's a beautiful frequency through the words. And the Bible itself, like the books, like you're talking about, it's alive, they're alive. Well, if you lay your hands on a Bible, you feel it. All you have to do is close your eyes and you can feel, you'll feel this vibration coming from the Bible, all any of them. You know, it's just amazing. Well, okay, I'm sure we've just probably gone over our time, but I before we kind of end the conversation, can you give the audience some information about how they can find you? What, you know, let's get that out there. So I mean, I know all they have to do is just look you up, but what would you like people to know? And I know we mentioned your music, you mentioned music, and you have incredible music. I love it. And I love your videos, and I love what you're doing with all of your music. I know you've got some new music out. So go ahead and tell us about that, Truth, Jessica.
Yeah, so all of the hats I wear and all that stuff, you can find it at truthseeker.com. Go to the website. The music's there, music videos, all the podcasts, my book, my writings, my blogs, ideas, those kind of things. They're all linked there. So I am working on some new music, and we've got several tracks already finished that I can't wait to share the final version, to release those and shoot videos for them, and constantly working on innovative ways to, you know, to share these stories and to share these truths and to inspire people.
Yeah, I love it. And yeah, you can look, if you just look you up, you're there everywhere. So it's easy to find you once you put your
Whatever
name
social
in.
media or whatever you use, I'm there.
Yeah, you're definitely there. And is there anything else you'd like to say before we sign off for tonight? Is anything we didn't share that you'd like to talk about?
I think we covered it all. Maybe I can end in a short prayer for those, if there's anybody listening who's struggling. How about that?
I
Because
would love it. I was actually hoping you would do that.
yeah, I get a lot of messages, and I'm sure you do, when we put ourselves out there and we talk about some of these things. So anybody out there who's struggling, who's dealing with situations and circumstances that seem to be too tough to handle. And you can't do it alone. You need some help, whether it's dark forces or what we call demons, or just in the midst of despair. Father, I ask for a touch, Lord, that you would touch each and every person listening to this episode. Father, anybody who is struggling right now in their faith, in their body, Father, I ask you to touch their body, touch their minds, God. Give them a new mind, give them a new heart, a heart that beats after you. Where they sought after dark stuff, when they sought after evil stuff, Father, that you would turn that upside down and allow them to seek after the living, seek after beauty, seek after love. And as they take a deep breath in, everybody breathe in 3, 2, 1, really deep. Say thank you and allow that life and that peace and that love of God just to come into you and resonate every cell, every fiber of your being. I pray in Jesus' mighty name, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Truth Seeker. That was just absolutely, I just felt that like everywhere. And I asked to send that out to the highest frequency to every single person that's listening and those that will listen in the future. And I asked for the rate of the frequencies to resonate through all of your cells, your atoms, the blood, the water of you, the body of you, your spiritual parts of you, your emotional parts of you, every part of you, we ask to be touched by that prayer and cleanse off in a way anything that is harmful, detrimental, disrespectful, disharmonious, and bring in the core frequency of you, who you are, is the highest part connected to God. So thank you. And Truth Seeker, I hope that you could come back again sometime in the future. I would love to have you come back when, you know, when the time is right. And thank you for blessing us with your presence and your wisdom today, tonight. And everybody that's listening, you know, you can go to my website too. It's MercedesLuckyBenedict.com. And be sure while you're on checking out, you know, podcasts, tune into more of the Web Radio Network podcasts. There's a plethora of different types of shows that are on this network, and they're really great. I mean, there's a lot of really great people and shows on the network. So I feel really honored. And thank you to Stan Fikes and his wife, Teresa Fikes, the producers. And we appreciate everyone and everything. And God bless everyone. Again, Truth Seeker, thank you so much. You're awesome. You still there?
Yeah, I said thanks for having me.
Okay. All right. Good night, everyone. And thank you so much for listening.
Recording stopped.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you, Truth Seeker. Have a great evening and appreciate it. And I'll get everything, to, you know, like whatever the video and all.
Whatever the official link is that you want to share, if it's the Spreaker link, if it's your website link, let me know.
This is the Mercedes Lucky Benedict Show, coming to you live on Web Radio Network.
Better you to be a better.